Initiate countdown. Execute.
Do not touch your dial. We are in charge of this transmission. Squad. Brute Squad. Only on Jackalope Radio.
Greetings, salutations, and once again, welcome to the Brute Squad.
Brute Squad!
We're going to be playing a little catch-up tonight. Have to apologize, we were having technical difficulties and we're not around last week. We are back for the attack, and we're going to play catch-up, especially with all the new 52 for you.
Yep.
And always, my partner in crime, Mr. Todd Schutz.
Hello. Ready to rock.
You know what? First of all,
sorry about last week, man. We had to pay bills around the station. That's what was going on. We had to pay some bills around the station. I had some technical issues, and had to do some commercial work. So we had all kinds of stuff going wrong last week. We had power outages. Did you know that? Last Thursday, we had power outages again.
How did you have power outages?
Well, you know, I wish I knew that. Someone needs to call and ask why we keep having power outages on our cable here.
Is it always just when you forget to pay the bill?
I always pay the bill, and it's right after I pay the bill that they decide to do that, and I get mad because I paid them.
Now I'm just giving you crap.
Darn it.
Hey, you know what they announced today, this week?
That all of this is a dream with the new 52, and it's going to go back.
No, oh. We're going to talk about movies. Justice League Doom.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about this. Kevin Conroy as Batman. Tim Daly, who I think does play the best voice of Superman. Yeah, everybody says, oh yeah, Private Practice, Wings, whatever. But the guy as Superman rocks. And yes, now they have the regular, Nathan Fillion. I bow to Mr. Nathan Fillion. Hey, yeah. my show Castle came back this week. I was all excited.
Oh,
it was freaking awesome.
There you go.
Well, no. Because, you know, those who do not understand, you know, it's very comic related. Castle, because he's a novelist that works with the police, and he has these books. Basically, they're all like about this character Nikki Heat. So he's actually talking to like this the female police officer who's kind of like his muse for this. Well, the first episode, and I guess what they're on the fourth season now. Basically, he killed off his main character Derek Storm, and this is when he's creating a new character, which is this Nikki Heat. Well, believe it or not. Marvel's jumped on board with that, and they're doing a graphic novel and comics of Derek Storm now. Well, last night's, or I guess it would be Monday night's episode, the big story was they had a mass vigilante, similar to what you had on your show a while back, the mass vigilantes, and they were actually going out killing people. And the whole thing was them trying to track down this vigilante,
awesome.
Which of course led them to a comic shop. Which, of course, led to all kinds of stuff talking about comics. which also even led to a scene where you saw his books of Derek Storm in a comic shop.
Wow.
So I was like, man, this is really kind of cool because the writers actually, they're right on this stuff. They didn't cheese it out like, oh, great, this is geekdom here. It was right. Really, it was done tasteful. And then the fact that now Nathan Fillion is doing the voice of Green Lantern, it looks hopefully on a regular basis. I'm like quite excited.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
It's going to be Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter. And I think along with the whole new 52, they're throwing Cyborg in there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It looks like they're like, oh, we're going to finally move Cyborg out. I really hate to break it to DC, but there was a cartoon back in the 80s, 90s called Super Friends.
That had Cyborg.
That had Cyborg as one of the main characters. It was him and Firestorm.
Yeah, yeah. The cool Firestorm.
Oh, God. The new one came out this week. The Fury of Firestorm.
Should I be afraid?
Let me tell you guys something. Those of you guys tuning in for the first time, yes, I own a comic shop, Root Squad. And I have my own pull list, of course, you know, with the comics I want. And I was excitedly went and read The Fury of Firestorm, The Nuclear Man. Because I'm a big Ronnie Raymond fan. I really liked Ronnie. I really liked Professor Stein. And then I read this, and I have to tell you, I immediately set to my computer and canceled it off my list.
Jeez.
It is the biggest piece of crap I've read this week.
That's no good.
I would have to say it's the worst 52 issue I've read.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, number one, and you guys who have actually listened before know that basically Ronnie was killed at one point in the identity crisis. And they brought in Jason Roach to replace him because they wanted an African-American character. They were going through this big, you know, we got to be, you know, diverse racially. Well, in this book, Jason decided, and they're kind of rebooting it, that Firestorm has never happened. He never was with Professor Stein. He was never with the Justice League. They're rebooting that this is the first time he's ever happened. And basically, Jason Roach starts off that he's trying to interview Ronnie Raymond, who's the football quarterback. And he's like, hey, you know, do you want me to just write down the normal stuff, or do you really want to be bothered with this article? Kind of being a jerk to Ronnie. You know, and Ronnie's like, hey, you're kind of a pretty big guy. Why aren't you playing football? Are you like afraid of getting hurt or what's going on? And he starts, and it goes right into this, you know, there's only so many percent. Here, I got to read this. Here you go. I got the page right here.
He's all marked it.
Oh, dude, it just frustrates me. Because some things I don't think should be a plateau in comics. Ronnie says, you know, you look like you could play. You could even try out for the squad. Or are you afraid of getting hurt, maybe? That's what I look like, huh? Do you know that for the past 4 years in school, with 45% of the students being African-American, there hasn't been a black quarterback? What? You're making that up. Am I? Ronnie turns around and says, I got your number, man. On the field, no one cares about color, who you are, and you hate that, right? Those guys are my brothers. Oh, they're your brothers? Is what Jason says back to Ronnie. You ever spend the night at any other's house, Ronnie? Just for your, just so you can know for the record. And I'm like, really? They're making the whole thing, the whole race thing again.
Yeah, here
and
we go.
And it's like, I want my superheroes. I want Ronnie having to go after, you know, villains.
Well, you know, they got to do something because it's really weird, too, because there's a big thing going on about this recently in the news about the NAACP, and sometimes they have really unrealistic demands. And when it was first started, it was supposed to be for all people, but anymore, it's only for one group of people, and that's black people, and there's a big stink about it because on their website, it's like in one place it says it's for all people of color, and then on the next page it's basically saying it's all for all African Americans, and it's a contradiction. There's a big stink going on. Supposedly African Americans only make up 16.8 8% of the population in the country, yet we got to cater and cater and cater because the NAACP and the people that follow them won't let it be. I mean, everything has to be about this one generation. Now, my thing personally is I try to live my life in a colorblind way that I believe all people are equal, and I don't think we should make a special amend for any group.
And you believe the children are our future.
And I do. And they are. And now what kind of message are we sending? You can't say one thing against a certain demographic because you'll be called a racist. That's BS. I mean, if you're a comedian or if you're trying to, you know, make a statement, it's okay to say what you want to say and not worry about that. I'm really tired of the PC movement. I'm tired of the NAACP, and I wish they'd all go to hell. Personally, I mean, you know, we've talked before on this show that we don't see enough Hispanic heroes or Asian heroes. There's a ton of different demographics that aren't being met, but none of that matters as long as we have black and white. And that's what's really frustrating to me.
Well, and to me, it's Firestorm. I'm picking up a Firestorm comic, and I'm expecting, you know, to see, you know, the fury of Firestorm. And it turns into a whole situation of black versus white.
Well, there's your
theory. And they're not even, like, together. There's two actual Firestorms. I mean, look at this. We got a yellow Jason and a red Ronnie. It doesn't even look like my Firestorm.
Yeah, that's weird.
And it's like, I don't know. I'm just frustrated. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So my review is take it, burn it. Let's see a Firestorm made out of that comic.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's play Johnny Human Torch with a comic book.
Nice. Batman, The Dark Knight.
Cool cover.
Dude, great book.
At least he doesn't have that goofy light-up chest emblem that they're trying to sell at Toys R Us.
This is David Finch. A lot of people know from Marvel. And I got to tell you, this new number one, it's also got Paul Jenkins is also a writer and co-plotter. And David Finch is writing and penciling. Look at this. This artwork is amazing.
Ah, I know. It's great.
And I'm really digging it. I like, you know, basically he's continuing his story that he had before this 52. The villains still look pretty rock.
Cool.
I mean, they look legit, dude.
I know. I like them.
I really am digging them.
And, seems like someone's got it together on
yeah,
this one.
And I really like it. I mean, look at Two-Face now.
Oh, that's weird, though. I don't like Two-Face.
It's like the back panel they basically says, don't call me Two-Face. I'm now One-Face.
And yeah, he looks like Bane.
I think he's all jacked up on Venom now.
I was going to say, that would be the only way.
But that could be the story arc. But I got to tell you, the writing's good. The artwork is good. I'm digging it. I'm liking it.
Trust me when I say that would be the only way I could see that as flying, because I think it's a little too much on the old Two-Face looks like the Incredible Hulk.
Yep. Green Lantern New Guardians. Tony Bard and Tyler Kirkham is actually doing it. It starts off with kind of like a new little origin of Kyle Rayner, how he got the ring. Not a lot changes, but it was pretty good. Basically, the story arc in this is like each lantern, like one from the red, one from the Star Sapphires, they all lose their rings. They're out doing their patrol or out, you know, killing people as, you know, the yellow lanterns. And all of a sudden, the rings disappear. And it looks like they're all going to Kyle. So we really don't know what's going on with this. It just says, like, basically he might be the bearer of every ring. I got to tell you, the artwork is good. The story so far, highly recommend it. It's good. Green Lantern Corps number one. It's Peter Tomasi is doing the writing. I got to tell you, I love Peter Tomasi. He's brilliant. Pretty much the focus of this book is going to be Guy Gardner, and it's going to be John Stewart. What I kind of like about it is they've kind of got a little bit of reality in this. I know we've talked back and forth about reality versus, but it's kind of cool. Guy Gardner, you know, before he was a Green Lantern, was a football player, football coach. In this book, he's decided he's going to try to go back to work and actually get a job as a coach. They all say that he's more than qualified. It'd be great to have a Green Lantern as a coach, but he can't get a job because no college will hire him because of the insurance that would come up with him being there and all the villains always trying to attack him at the school and putting the kids' lives in danger.
Of course.
But, I mean, that's kind of cool. You know, it's kind of like, hey, yeah, that's probably exactly what would happen. So, it was pretty tight. Teen Titans as well. I don't know yet on this one. I'm going to say I'm on the fence. Robin actually looking like Falcon kind of bothers me. Kid Flash, I don't know, his costume's a little bit off. They kind of make him look like he's got a mohawk. I am digging the new Wonder Girl, even though she keeps saying, don't call me Wonder Girl. But the biggest thing is what I'm impressed by is Brett Booth. Brett Booth, you know, did a lot of stuff for Dynamite back in the day. And now DC's got a hold of him. And, you know, here lately, before Titans, he was doing Justice League. But I got to tell you, his panels are beautiful. I mean, look at this. Robin is looking like Robin should.
You know? Yeah, but is it still Damian?
No, this is actually Tim Drake.
Oh, thank goodness.
This is the Tim Drake. But, I mean, the artwork is just amazing. You guys, definitely pick it up. Go to your local shop and just, hey, grab it. Or if you're really bored and in Gladstone area.
Exactly.
Exactly. New Superman. Artwork is amazing. I gotta say, the artwork is really good. I think the thing that's so odd about reading this new Superman is the artwork is by Jesus Moreno, but it's written by George Perez. George Perez, what are you doing writing, dude? You're a comic artist. And the only reason I say this is he's not the normal artist. It's George Perez. He's like one of my gods, you know? And when it comes to artwork, the guy's amazing. But I got to tell you, the book was pretty decent. I mean, it's kind of... They got a whole scene at the end where Clark goes to talk to Lois. And she's shacking up with some guy. And he's overhearing them, like, in bed together. And I got to say, it's kind of creepy. Because they kind of have Lois, like, I don't know if she's in a relationship or if she's, like, more sexually active, I guess you should say. But it's not what I expected. I think the big one that's the big shock this week, and I mean, it's all flaming all over the internet, is the new team, the new Red Hood and the Outlaws. Firestorm is basically very sexual active in that book. Sleeping around.
Jeez.
Yeah. Sleeping around with Jason Todd, and then by the end by Roy. Bad enough that I guess some 7-year-old girl wrote a letter into DC about it.
I'm sure.
You know, and then parents are writing in, oh, my kids. Well, number one, DC kind of came out and said, there's a rating on the cover. If your child's not 14, maybe they shouldn't read it. But, you know, it does bring up a good valid point. You see, comics normally are made for kids. Your comics are not
going to be.
Well, but think about it. Comics are usually, I mean, the general 99% of the public are going to think of comics for kids, right? Comics are going to be put on the bottom racks in places. They're not going to be put on the top with the Playboy and the Penthouse. They're going to be put on the bottom of the racks. Well, you got these kids that are watching, you know, Tiny Titans and Young Justice and all, and they're going to be like, oh, it's Starfire. Let's go look at the comic. And all of a sudden, bang, she's in bed with somebody.
Exactly.
I mean, I can understand, hey, this is an adult title, but it is still a comic book. You know, and that's where I'm kind of, you know, DC used to have, I mean, they used to use Vertigo for like their adult line of books. And it's kind of like now they've kind of blurred that.
I agree.
Dark, or I should say Justice League Dark. I'm really on the fence on this one, too. I'm not sure where they're going to go, where they're going to be. Zatanna's kind of one of the main stars. Constantine, they have the actual Justice League, Superman, Wonder Woman, guest star, Batman. But it's really all over the map. It looks like the Shade is now the Changeling Man. Madame Xanadu now has sight. I don't know. I wasn't real impressed. It wasn't anything that I was like, oh, God, I got to see it. By the same token, I didn't run out and cancel it, but I don't know. I'm on the fence.
Yeah, I understand.
But, you know, to wrap up our first half of our show, I really want to talk about my favorite comic of 52. And when I show you my favorite comic of 52, you will laugh and mock.
I probably will, knowing me.
My favorite comic, yes, is Aquaman.
I've heard good things, though.
Dude, it is freaking incredible. I mean, Geoff Johns, I mean, we've been talking about him anyway, that, you know, what he did with Green Lantern with the reboot. But I got to tell you, Aquaman, he makes such a badass. The main part of the story, I mean, check him out, dude.
Very nice.
I mean, number one, you got Ivan Reyes. That guy is freaking amazing in artwork. Did a lot of the Green Lantern, did Blackest Night here recently. But the whole thing starts off with this truck with robbers driving down the road. Aquaman uses his trident, stabs the front of the truck when they're trying to run him over, and flips the entire armored truck over his head. I mean, you think about it, really. I mean, we're talking Aquaman. You know, everybody says how lame he is. He talks to fish. But it's like the next panel, these guys jump out and start shooting him with a gun, and you get to see bullets flying all off of him. I mean, if you got a character that can survive the depths of the bottom of the ocean, a bullet's not going to hurt his skin.
True.
I mean, it's not. And finally, Johns is really showing that, like, he is, in his own right, kind of a Superman. You know, they talk about how strong he is. You know, in this panel, they actually show him, you know, leaping a building. Well, he's not actually flying, but he's kind of leaping like as the Hulk would.
Right.
Which, you know, he would be able to do. I think the greatest part of it is he's trying to really get you in touch with Aquaman. Like, one of the main scenes is he walks into a seafood restaurant, you know, and this lady's like, what do you want? And he goes, what are you doing here? And she's like, what do you mean? Well, it's a seafood place. Yeah, I need to eat, but it's seafood. You know, everybody thinks this, you know, Aquaman's not a fish. He can swim in the water, but I mean, it's kind of like everybody's like, oh, that's kind of like being a cannibal. And it's like, really? He lives in Atlantis. I'm sure that's all they eat. It's not like they raise cows.
That is so funny, dude. So funny.
Yeah, because Geoff Johns makes it funny. Here you go. The waitress comes up and says, what would you like to order? And he goes, I'll have fish and chips. And a kid walks over and goes, you can't have fish and chips. And Aquaman's like, why not? He goes, because you talk to fish. So he's making, you know, light of everybody saying he talks to fish. And his next comment is, I don't talk to fish.
That is funny.
He goes, fish don't talk. Their brains are too primitive to carry on a conversation. So what do? I reach into their midbrains and telepathically push them to help me out. Squid, sharks, eels, it's all the same. Though dolphins are another story. So, I mean, he's really writing intelligently. Like, they're asking Aquaman, what does he do? I mean, what do you really do? I mean, how are you going to pay for lunch? And Aquaman goes, I get by. And they have a flashback of him pulling a big trunk and, treasure chest, you know, as a flashback. It's like, well, yeah, you know, he can go there. And I mean, I'm sure he could have gone through the Titanic and pulled out whatever he wanted.
Of course.
You know, but I got to say, it's really, I just like the way they're doing it. I've read some articles online from Geoff Johns, and he says basically his plan for Aquaman is that he's not wanting to be, this new Aquaman's not wanting to be a ruler anymore. He's not wanting to be a king. He wants to protect the earth from the sea and the sea from the earth.
Okay.
So a lot more of this storyline is going to be him basically on land.
Okay.
And how he deals with on land. But I got to tell you, it's my favorite book so far. I mean, he's really, artwork is great. I'm digging it.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
I'm telling you, I hope so.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, at least it sounds like it's kind of more contemporary and it's not so stuck.
It's not. And he's kind of widening his, you know, his horizons, you know. What is Aquaman really? Who is he really? I got to say, out of all the 52 titles, it's probably the most human book I've seen.
Well, that's a good thing.
Which I'm really digging.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, yeah, highly recommend it. Go on and grab it.
Grab the book, man.
Yeah.
That's good. It is about time for break, I guess.
Is
it? Jeez, I guess it is.
Well, you know what?
That got us through quickly, man. I don't even know.
I don't either. Time flies and you're having fun.
It does.
You guys, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a little bit with the Brute Squad. We'll be right back.
Attention all personnel. You got it. You got it. You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
And welcome back to the Brood Squad.
Brood Squad!
Once again, Johnny Reed, Todd Sheets.
We are here.
We are here
to conquer. We are ready to rock.
You know what? Let's talk about some other stuff here this week. Because, you know, it seems like this is a week of sexuality in comics. It really is. Because, I mean, the big thing about the new 52 in DC was all about, hey, how can we get new readers? How can we get... But, you know, they really are gearing to that 18-34 age range.
Crazy.
And I know you're trying to stay away from it, but I'm going to talk about it. The new Batman.
I'm excited about the new Batman.
They got new pictures of Anne Hathaway out there.
That I urge everyone to boycott.
Well, the big thing about it is the costume looks pretty much like the comic, whatever. I guess the biggest thing is Nolan's always talked about realism. His comic is supposed to be based... I mean, his comic, excuse me. His movie is all based on realism. You know, if this was the real-world Batman, if this is the real-world Two-Face Joker, you know, they made Two-Face look like he was halfway burnt. It wasn't like he had two suits sewn together like the whole Tommy Lee Jones with, hey, let's, you know, have sugar and spice. But the newest pictures of her, they have her in thigh-high stiletto black leather boots. Not only are they stiletto boots, like 4-inch stilettos, but the heel themselves are shiny chrome. She's in a completely black outfit, but the heels are shiny chrome.
Yeah, but you know.
Which, all I'm saying, but in realism, you know, granted.
Forget that.
It's one of those things, hey, you know, girls and, you know, stiletto heels, I am not going to say that's bad to look at, okay? You can argue or your point, but when you read comics, a lot of them are fanboys. But the realism of Catwoman is that she's a cat burglar. Anybody that watches the show Leverage, you're never going to see Piper wearing all black leather and stilettos. You're going to see her in usually like wrestling shoes, something that looks similar to a combat boot, but usually they're more of a climbing type style shoe. You're a cat burglar. You're going to be climbing. Heels? No, it's not.
Maybe it's
so
just
well
for that scene. We can't judge.
Well, no, I'm not just saying. You're right. It could just be for that scene, but being a cat burglar wearing all black leather, I'd probably go back to the point of, wouldn't you always want to be ready for action? Would you want to have to stop and change out your shoes?
I don't know.
I'm just saying. And this kind of echoes the DC 52 because, like I said before, you know, a lot of people were upset about the new Starfire. It even goes to the new Catwoman. The new Catwoman comic that came out last week. Almost every scene is focused on her breasts to the point that the first half of the comic, she's like running and running from these guys. And half her costume is off of her over the shoulder where it's showing it's all her bra top. And half the panel scenes are just showing her breasts. And the comic ends pretty much with her halfway undressed, doing it on a rooftop, I think, of a penthouse with Batman. So they're actually finally showing a whole straight-out sex scene of Catwoman and Batman. And I think there's some dialogue in there about leave on the masks or something. Because in this new universe, that's the one thing that kind of... That's the frustrating part about this new universe is you really don't know what the history is anymore. As you're reading it, does she know Batman? Does she not? What's going on? By the end of it, you find that she makes a comment that he probably knows who I am. But she doesn't know that Batman is Bruce Wayne.
Right.
So right now she has no clue, which kind of goes back to that's a lot of history that they kind of just erased. I mean, that's a lot of years Catwoman and Batman were together.
Well, they like to do that, as you know.
Granted, but it's just one of those things, you know, sex sells, even in comics. You know, they can sit there. I mean, I guess the big argument they're talking now is that they're wanting a new, fresh style. And if you go back to the old 90s, when Liefeld was in his prime and Heck, everybody and their brother was going for, you know, all the chicks had big breasts, small waists. I mean, look at the Rogan Storm they wrote in those periods. It was crazy. It was sex sells. But I'm not sure that I would say that across the board. I know a lot of people are going off on DC about this, but, you know, they've only done that to a couple titles.
Well, yeah.
You know, they don't have that in The Flash. It's not like that so far in the Justice League. I mean, it is early to tell. You know, there's a lot of titles that it's not like that. So maybe they're just trying to be diverse. I mean, and maybe the big thing is to look at the whole spectrum of the DC comics that are coming out for 52. I mean, there's 52 different comics. And really, there's only two of them that people are having issues with sexually. Of course, now we got one that's, I'm sure by tomorrow, we're going to see all kinds of posts on Firestorm. Because now you're getting into the whole racial debate over there. But what do you do?
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
Why can't we just enjoy heroes beating up bad guys?
I know. I don't get it.
That's what I think.
But I got to say, the new Catwoman costume, doesn't look too bad.
I'm just really frustrated, though. I mean, the thing is, and I agree totally with Michael Uslan and with Jet from Batman on Film, which is, look, man, I'm really tired of cell phones. I'm tired of these horrible res pictures taken out of context. No one knows what it's going to look like when it's through the lens of that camera. I mean, I remember the first pictures of Joker that they were trying to leak. But I got to tell you, security was so much better on The Dark Knight than it has been on this movie. Everywhere they go, people are able to get all these pictures. And I just don't like it. Right now, I'd much rather they do like they did last time, have a really cool website campaign going with all those websites that, you know, weren't real, but like the Gotham City News and all these places.
Well, that was kind of like Vote for Two-Face and Harvey Dent.
All that great stuff, you know. It was intense. You kind of had to hunt, and every week you'd go back and try to find new clues and try to find these new websites that were popping up, and you'd get little pieces of the story and little pieces of the visuals. Man, it was so much better. It made it feel to me like Warner Brothers was involving us. It was interactive. And those websites were so interactive, and how you'd go out into the field, actually, and like they'd have people go on almost treasure hunts to find these clues to where they could go and actually see the first trailer, and they could go and see this and find that. I mean, there was a lot of things.
It was fun.
It was really nice. And so far that hasn't happened. And instead they've been dropping the ball, this damn security issue everywhere. Warner Brothers isn't releasing anything officially except for one picture of Bane, one picture of Catwoman on a motorcycle that wasn't even Catwoman at the time. She was just Selina Kyle at the time. And it's really been difficult because I know
they're showing
them
now, right now. Superhero hype.
Oh, I know, but I'm mad at them.
Different
I think they
shots of her, one of Gary Oldman, and three or four of Christian Bale.
Yeah, I saw they were there, and after the first picture loaded, I kind of pulled away, and I got to give a boo. Even though I really like superhero hype, I think you guys really should follow Jet's example. The utmost superhero website, batmanonfilm.com, he does the right thing. I mean, if people want to see these spoilers, they can go see them somewhere else. You guys, I come to you for news. I'm tired of seeing set photos. I don't want to see it anymore. I don't want to see Captain America fighting a tennis ball on the end of a pole. I don't want to see it. I want to wait for the film to come out so my heart and my spirit and my suspension of disbelief are all intact. And I sit in that theater and I just suck it all in. And that's why I purposely, before the Captain America movie came out, I only looked at like one picture of the suit. And I was like, I don't want to see anymore. I want to wait for the movie. Yeah. Because if I judged by those photos, I would have never went and saw it. It looked terrible.
And it was a great movie.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Same thing with X-Men First Class, okay? I judged it by all these stupid leaked photos and scenes that where they were leaking from cell phones. And I didn't even want to see the movie. Well, I finally saw it on Blu-ray and I'm like, you know what? I loved every minute. It was a fun movie. I had a great time. Popcorn movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Much better than what I thought, because it's ruining that experience. When I was a kid and I went and saw Empire Strikes Back, how would you feel nowadays if you found out because of some stupid website that Darth Vader was the father? It would have destroyed it. It would have been just taken all the wind out of the sails, bud. But when we were little kids and we saw that scene, people in the whole theater went, you could hear a collective, you know, not a sound. You could hear all the breath.
Well, that was the same thing with the part with like Han at the end.
Oh, yeah.
When they all of a sudden brought up, and you saw for the first time what he looked like in carbonite.
And you're like, oh, my God.
Holy crap. What'd they do to my favorite character?
It's exactly it. And you didn't have all of that ruined for you by some idiot with a cell phone.
Yeah.
It is up to the people who, I mean, I know they want hits on their website, but is it really worth ruining something that can be magical? I mean, in this day and age, there's not much left.
You know their argument. Their argument's like, don't go to our site.
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. And then more people like me aren't going to go to their site. And then pretty soon their site loses all the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to make up your mind. Who do you want to serve? Do you want to serve someone who doesn't even give a damn about these movies? Or do you want to serve people that really care?
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, you're ruining the magic of film. I really don't want to know every single spoiler. I just want to enjoy the picture on its own terms. And I don't want people telling me what they think of the Catwoman suit before they've even seen it in the movie. They don't know a damn thing about it. I'm so tired of whiny-ass fanboys out there. And we are fanboys, but we're not whiny-ass, narrow-minded, can't-get-out-of-the-basement fanboys. Those guys need to go upstairs, tell their mom they're moving out, get a life.
I agree.
Because I'm sick and tired of them sitting there judging everything on a photo. Look how many people, like, slammed the new Spider-Man. We don't know if it's any good or not. I think the guy looks ridiculous with that big head of hair. Looks like a bobblehead.
Wow.
I'm going to try to see the movie because I am staying away from the photos except for the official photos that Sony released, which I think 50% good costume, 50% what the hell. The guy's a track runner.
See, and I got to tell you, to me, I put Spider-Man in a different category. Because I got to tell you, my problems with Spider-Man going to see it, it has nothing to do with the movies. To me, it's the fact that they got rid of Raimi and they got someone else.
Well, they did a dirty thing to people, yes.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's kind of one of those things of...
People show up to the first day of shooting and they say, oh, you're not filming anymore.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I like the idea in this new movie that he's got web shooters.
I like that too.
I like the idea that they're actually doing the true origin, that it's going to be Gwen Stacy and not, let's throw out the redhead, you know, right off the bat.
I do. I like that. I like the suit, like I said, for the most part.
For me, I mean, the biggest part, you know, for me, you know why I'm going to go see it. You know,
yeah.
Dennis Leary is going to be playing Gwen Stacy's dad.
Which is awesome.
It's Dennis Leary. I'll see anything that guy does.
Any day.
I mean, he's brilliant.
Dennis the Menace.
Yes. Anybody that watches, wow.
He's great. But I think it can be good. Do I think it's going to be better than Raimi's Vision? No. Do I think it's going to be different? Absolutely. And I think it has a valid place. We talked about this last night with Michael Uslan about the two Jokers. We're really tired. Those of us who truly love Batman and love these characters are tired of hearing the comparisons between Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger. They both own that character. They both own it. And the reason why we figure they did is because during the time frame that each of those films were made, they became the iconic Joker for that time. The Joker that was happening during the time Jack Nicholson's movie came out was the Clown Prince of Crime. And he embodied that Joker. The Joker now is more of a realistic kind of Joker, a little more bizarre. Even Harley Quinn's gone psycho. And so Heath Ledger embodied that Joker for our time. They both own the character for very different reasons. Why can't they both own it? Why does one have to be better than the other?
Well, to tell you, number one, Joker Nicholson is only a little bit better because he had Bob.
Bob.
Because Bob.
Bob.
You're my number one
guy.
I love Bob. You know, he had Bob. That made it special.
Well,
and I got to tell you,
that was a comic book Joker.
And my favorite Joker, Cesar Romero.
A lot of people love Cesar Romero.
I think he was brilliant.
And I think he was the Joker for that time.
He was. You're right.
So he also owns that part. But so does Mark Hamill.
But that's like people saying, you know, I loved Keaton as Batman.
I do too.
Well, let me rephrase. I love Keaton as Bruce Wayne.
I love him as Batman.
He was an all right Batman, but he was a great Bruce Wayne. I mean, to me, he's probably my favorite Bruce Wayne. But I loved Val Kilmer at the time as Batman.
I hated it.
The first scene, I liked him as Batman. He swung in on the rope. You know, he was more like my comic Batman.
Yeah, I don't know. He was
I did not like him as Bruce Wayne. I liked him as Batman.
Weird. I didn't know that about you. That kind of freaks me out a little.
Why is that?
Because he was... The dude didn't even move his mouth.
Remember the scene when he walks off the elevator and he starts throwing the batarangs and he starts fighting the guards and he's using martial arts?
With all the brightly lit pink and green colors.
Well, I'm just
yes.
talking about the action.
Oh, okay.
Where he's actually wrestling the guys. He was very physical. I liked a physical Batman.
Well, I do too.
Keaton was a very stiff Batman.
I don't know. Go and rewatch Returns.
I did last week.
Then you saw he did a lot of the same stuff.
He did a lot more, but
it's
I'm
just the
saying,
way it was shot and
I'm
who
not,
the stunt guy was.
Granted, but what I'm just saying overall, they did better on the suit. He had more movement on the newer suit. Clooney, I don't think he was good in any era, any age. I'm not a Clooney fan as Batman.
I think he could have been because he's a phenomenal actor, but I think
he had a terrible director. You know, honestly, do you know who I would
have
thought the perfect character for Clooney?
There's a lot of them.
No, the perfect one, I would love to see him do a serious Green Hornet.
That'd be pretty cool.
Because, I mean, he's got that kind of 40s, you know, post-World War II look about him, which he does a lot of those kind of movies from that era anyway. But he's got that pulp look about him, and I think he would have been a very great, you know, Green Hornet.
I agree.
I mean, get him and, you know, somebody really good.
Jet Li,
I think, would have been perfect together.
Well, I think so, but I've got to go back to my original thought that, in all honesty, like, the things I loved about Keaton as Batman were, he made it believable that he wasn't Bruce Wayne when he was in the costume. He changed his voice, he changed the way he held himself, changed the movements of his body, changed his very mannerisms when he put that cowl on. The thing with Kilmer that I didn't like was, still seemed like Val Kilmer, still had Val Kilmer's voice, still was a piece of wood, didn't even move his mouth when he talked. I could see no emotion. I saw more emotion through that thick-ass Keaton cowl than I did through the new sleeker cowl.
All right. No, I agree on that.
And I was like, it just didn't seem, I don't know.
No, as far as the acting, no. I'm saying as far as the acting, I'm all about Keaton. Don't get me wrong. He was a brilliant Batman.
But you just liked
I just like the physical aspect of him. Because like when they're in that scene when they had the party, you know, he climbs up the wall. You know, Keaton, you didn't see climb up anything.
Well, you did. The problem is, you when you watch that, kind of watch the way it was shot, because Burton was not an action director.
No, he's not.
He can.
And don't get me wrong, I like Keaton, but I like that physical.
A lot of that close up stuff when Batman's climbing, because I actually saw him climbing in there, and there's the parts where he like swoops down and grabs people and shoots back up with the grappling and stuff.
Right.
That's cool stuff, but you just don't see it like you did in part three. The one thing about Schumacher was he came from an action background. He had done film that had action.
Flatliners and he had a really good.
So he knew, you know, Lost Boys and things. He knew how to film action in a wider scope and to do it that way. And I think that in the stunt coordinator, they kind of did the fight scenes a little bit better.
Right.
I agree with you. But I do believe
that's the only aspect.
Them,
you know? I mean, is just the aspect. I think the fight scenes were they were close to my Batman.
There you go.
But I mean, as far as if I had to pick Kilmer over Keaton, Keaton's hands down.
And it's just because I think it's one of those things where I felt, you know, in all honesty, people say, who's your favorite? I'm like, well, I love them both. And everyone grumbles about, you know, Chris Nolan. Well,
Christian Bale,
but Chris Nolan's choice, I guess, is the word of the voice for Batman. And I was like, look, if you watch Batman Begins, it's barely there, barely any gravel. Dark Knight, he got more gravelly, but at the same time, I could see what they're trying to do. You guys have to realize this is set in the real world, and if he's sitting there talking to Rachel in a voice that sounds like Bruce Wayne,
she's gonna know.
So he has to really disguise his voice. So that's why I understand it. I know sometimes it sounds like he's trying to sing for a death metal band.
You know what?
I like it.
You know what I think would have been kind of cool if they would have done? Smallville. Green Arrow actually had a thing that would change his voice that he used. And I'm more surprised they didn't do something like that.
But it's still not real world. I mean, we don't really have something that cool that would sound. I mean, because we have voice changers.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you and I both heard them, and it kind of sounds like you're talking through a walkie-talkie.
That's kind of the way Green Arrow kind of is.
Want Batman. Then people would have complained. Sounds like he's talking through a squawk box. What, has he got a trach tube?
Well, you're going to have people complain no matter what.
What, has Batman got a trach tube?
Awesome.
Yeah, you better look out, Joker. I mean, it's true.
Dude.
See where it goes on this show, John?
I think that's what's weird about us
is our debates are so lively.
They're fun.
Because we respect each other so much.
I cried. They become a part of me.
Well, yeah. Then. Then we ran.
Then we ran, yeah.
We ran so far away.
But we'll have to see. I mean, I really like, the thing I like best about Bale is my Batman, you know, when I refer to it as my Batman, it's like the comic Batman.
Yeah.
You know, he's the ultimate martial artist. The reason he can fight all these guys and win, and he's just being human, is because he is the best fighter.
Well, once again, I bring up the way it was filmed, because I think the way they did Batman Begins.
Oh, brilliant.
Showing all that training.
Yeah.
Then when they went to the fight scenes with Batman later in the movie,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't tell what the hell was going on. And I know they shot that, they said, on purpose to make it look like a flurry of bats.
Right.
Dude, still. You know, it's like the difference between American Jackie Chan movies and Asian Jackie Chan movies.
Yeah, Asians are better.
You can really see what the hell's going on. And I personally think, I'm hoping in Dark Knight Rises, they've got him a action coordinator to help film the stuff. Because even in Dark Knight, didn't you feel like some of those fight scenes were just too close up?
Yeah, and a little bit too blurry. Yeah,
they were just like, what happened?
It almost seems like they sped it up a little bit, too.
I couldn't even tell who he was hitting sometimes.
But you know what I did like about it, going back to the first one, is kind of like when he's fighting, you know, Liam Neeson, you know, Ra's al Ghul. The parts were like...
Now you just ruined the movie for people who haven't seen it.
By now, too bad. I've ruined everything. And you know, but what I like about it is like the gauntlets. They're not just for looks, you know.
That's
there's
right.
a purpose, you know. The stuff that is his Batman costume, you find out that there was a history to it that was a part of his training.
Right, all through the years even, not just one training, but several types of training
right.
that they did and several things he picked up along his travels around the world. I mean, that
see,
was
See, I would
cool.
love to see some more, like in the next movie, I'd love to see a couple of flashbacks.
Give us some flashbacks.
Of like him, you know, with a magician. Or
oh,
him
that'd
with
be
an,
rock.
Or with like him with, and then have it like Zatanna Zatara's father.
Right.
You know, just for the little fanboys, you know, having remembering, hey, you know, this is, you know, I learned how to do this. Or like have him like stuck, like have him stuck in a straitjacket or something. Have him have a flashback of the first time he learned how to get out of one.
That'd be cool.
You know, something like that I think would be kind of cool. That flashback of, you know, show part of that training later on to him like remembering, how do I get out of this mess?
Yeah, what am I going to do here?
I just, you know, just an idea.
Well, knowing the fact that, you know, we're not spoiling anything by letting people know that the League of Shadows is coming back, because well, how could I spoil anything when the pictures are all over the internet? But the League of Shadows is one of the things I'm looking at. I like how it's going full circle with the
yes.
You know.
Well, rumor has, well, a lot of it is they're going to have two different Ra's al Ghuls. One of them is going to be a younger one. I guess there's going to be a lot of flashbacks of how he
well,
came
also
to power.
Also, I think when he comes back, when he originally comes back from the Lazarus Pit, I think he's a little younger.
Well, they're saying that they've been seeing Liam Neeson
oh, yeah.
on
he's,
the set.
He's been on the set.
And I'm like, dude, I hope they have him back. I thought he was brilliant.
Oh,
and I think
he was.
He's a, and I'd love to see him as Ra's al Ghul.
I like the fact that he kind of finally got over himself a bit. Because he used to be I am a Shakespearean actor. And he was all mad at first with George Lucas.
Yeah, that went out the window with A-Team.
Because I was like, yeah. I was like, dude, really? You're going to complain because you were in Star Wars? Now, of course, he doesn't. Now he sees the benefit of how great it was to be a part of the
Give
Star Wars
Give me a break.
Universe.
One of his first roles he did was Kroll.
I know, but back...
Do you remember seeing that?
Yeah, of course.
There's a great movie, and he was a... and then he does Rob Roy. I'm sorry, if you watch Rob Roy, that's not real Shakespearean.
There's nothing... Yeah, it's the fact that, you know...
It's a, hey, let's jump on the bandwagon of Braveheart.
That's, okay. Yeah, basically.
I mean, that's what that was.
Well, and I look at the fact that, you know, at the time, you know, he's over there, Sam Jackson's going, I can't believe I'm a Jedi! And he's over there going, yeah, good, great, I'm a prop. I love being a prop. I mean, that's basically what he was saying, and I was like, really? Really? That's
even
what,
Han
you know,
Solo was like that for several years.
And he was, but now, of course, in hindsight, they're looking back and they're going, well, maybe it wasn't like that so much,
right.
you know. And with Liam, I think he finally realized, you know, I was part of something bigger than that. And,
yeah.
And I got mad at him for a while. Now I'm kind of getting back into his work.
Do you know one of my favorite movies he ever did? I don't even know if you've seen it.
What's that?
Shining Through with Michael Douglas.
I did not watch Shining Through.
It was actually a really good, it's a World War II
That's probably
war
why.
Movie.
That's probably why.
But no, I like a lot of the war movies.
I know
I
you
tell
do.
You,
and you know I don't. I don't ever watch war movies unless they take place in stars.
But this one was actually, he plays a German SS officer. And he played a great role. And I'm like, wow, this guy can really act.
And then everybody else in the cast said, look, it's Schindler and he's really in incognito. He's going to save
it.
Us all.
Yeah. But... No, great actor. You're right. I'm excited about him being back. My only fear is the same thing that I have fear in all these movies. And I think it's what destroyed Spider-Man 3, was the fact that if they would have kept it with just Sandman, I think it would have been great. But no, then you got to throw in Venom. And then you got to throw in this new Green Goblin. And then you got to throw in this new love interest. And it's like they get so many characters going on. And my only worry...
I'm not worried at all.
I am just a little bit because it's a two-hour movie... And you're going to have Catwoman, Bane, Ra's al Ghul, Tyla, Batman. I mean, there's just a lot more characters.
Well, look how...
I mean,
honestly,
don't get me wrong.
Though.
I got faith. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to... I'm just one of those. I'm a little bit nervous because
look at
it is
Dark
a lot
Knight.
Of characters.
How many villains did we have in Dark Knight?
Oh, yeah. Oh!
You know, look at the first one. We had Zaz in the first one.
Yeah.
He wasn't much in it, but he was in a little bit. And then you look at the second one, and you've got the Joker, and you've got Two-Face, and you've got these little background villains that you know
about.
Well,
you had Scarecrow in the beginning.
That's right, and you had Scarecrow, who, you know, people were saying, golly, there's too much going on. Really? Uh-huh. Was there? Not to me.
Yeah.
Because they did a good job of balancing it. Now, see, the way I'm looking at it, I don't think Bane's in the entire movie. I think Bane is a part of the film. Because if you remember, we've discussed this before in the comics, Bane worked with Talia. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was so funny because the actress that's playing Talia came out and was like, I don't play her. Who are you, lady? Are we stupid?
Yeah.
Do we look dumb? That's not my character. It'll be pretty frightening, though, if it's not. Wouldn't it be weird if Bane just kind of took over the Empire after Roz? And he's the one that's behind the resurrection? That'd be weird.
That'd be very cool.
But there's a million things that could go on in this movie. And I even heard somewhere that there might even be a Oswald Cobblepot cameo just as a nod to the character. So I don't know what's going on. But there's just so much going on that we have to look at it with our approach that, you know, hey, here's the final tell for me. Gary Oldman says, I can't tell you a damn thing about this movie. But what I can tell you is, second best script I've ever read. Ever.
Yeah, and he's about the most stuck-up actor you've ever met.
Well, you've got it. Well,
I mean, I love him.
People love him. But people love working with him.
But it's kind of like he did Lost in Space.
Yeah, don't ever say anything, Gary, about bad movies after you did Lost in Space.
Well, you heard what he said about that, didn't you? They interviewed him after it, and they go,
he was not
we
happy.
Heard that you were drunk during the whole filming. And he goes, of course. He goes, even drunk, I'm better than all these other American actors on the set. And I'm like,
I think
wow.
A lot of that's sarcasm, though. I don't really think he's too stuck up, but everyone says he's so pleasant to work with.
No, he's great. Every interview I've ever read says he's
But you have
wonderful.
To give him this. How many scripts has that man read in his career, and how many great parts has he played?
Well, he picks them. Well, I can tell you there's one that he never should have taken.
Well, there's more than one, but yes.
No, there is ahead. One.
What's that?
One of the worst movies.
There is but one.
I put it with Cabin Boy and Solaris.
Okay.
I think it's called A Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
I never saw such a thing.
And it stars him and Kate Beckinsale. And I'm thinking with the two of them, it's going to be a wonderful movie.
Why would anyone in their self-respecting nerd mind even watch a movie with that title?
He plays a dwarf.
What is wrong with you?
He plays a dwarf. I thought it was, I saw, you know what, it was like a DVD and I saw that it was Gary Oldman and Kate Beckinsale. I'm like, oh, I love both of them.
Oh, Lord.
You know, Kate Beckinsale's, you know, I definitely
you
want to.
You know, but yeah, why? Why, Johnny?
I know. It was terrible.
I just have to go, why,
speaking
Johnny?
Of Nolan, do we got time to talk about anything else?
We got like, we got like 1 minute.
1 minute? I got to say, persons of interest, Jonathan Nolan is directing and writing.
Can't wait to see it.
J.J. Abrams is actually producing it. You got Michael Emerson, who everybody knew as Ben Linus from Lost. And you got Jim Caviezel, you know, Count of Monte Cristo. And I got to tell you, I saw the pilot, and it's just, I loved it. I thought it was great. I've already talked to some friends. They're still kind of on the fence on it. It's kind of starting off a little slow, but it gives a lot of backstory about who these people are. Definitely turn it in. Check it out. It's awesome.
I'm with you on that.
But tell you what, I guess it is time for us to go. I want to thank you once again, Todd.
Always a pleasure.
And we will be back next week. Same Brute time, same Brute channel.
Brute Squad!
Have a good evening.
Standing in the rain with his head hung low.